Be praying for me. I always get nervous. I always do. And I always have to talk a little bit to kind of get calmed down a little bit. I'm like Brother Graber. Get mine opened up here. But, we've heard, I wrote these down because when I get nervous, I forget everything. So I wrote down the messages. Brother Hugin preached just as a recap, if you will, to remind us we've slept. And we tend to forget things sometimes. Brother Hugin brought a message entitled, I had down a fixed heart, but looking at a fixed heart that's fixed on God is what the examination of a heart fixed on God. Brother Kavanaugh preached following Jesus. Brother Graber, drawing near to God. And Brother John last night, do you want to be here and why? Those were the messages that we've heard, and kind of the theme so far has been what I would put keeping with the stuff, staying where we ought to be, doing what we ought to be doing, you know? Turn, if you will, to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. I don't really have a title. I've wrote down a few, but none of them seem to fit. But if I had to title anything, it would just be Keep Standing. With Leviticus chapter 18, I want to read the first five verses here. And I want you to think about this and think about who this is written to. I read a book a long time ago that talked about how to study the Bible. You can't just pick up the Bible and start reading it and apply it to your life. There's some things you have to figure out first, some things you have to find out first. One, who was doing the writing? And who were they writing to? And what was the intent of the writing? What was happening in the situation, the context of it all? Why was he writing? Right? You figure all that out. And once you know what the intent was, what he wanted to get across to the people he was writing to, now you can learn how to apply it to your life. Right? We have to figure all that out first. And so that Moses is writing this. The Lord's given this to Moses in the wilderness to the children of Israel that are wandering around for 40 years because they're not going in. Right? So here he tells them, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and my ordinances, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." Verse 5 is a verse we want to really focus on or think about. "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." You think about the people that they left in Egypt. They served many gods in Egypt. He tells them, "The doings of the land of Egypt wherein you dwelt shall ye not do." Don't follow after what you saw in Egypt. Don't do those things. And then he says, "And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do." Have you ever looked? The Bible talks about the five nations, I think it is, and I'm off the top of my head, I could be wrong on the number. But how many nations that he expelled out of the land of Canaan and why? Why did God tell them to kill them all, destroy them all? What were they doing that was so bad? Think about it. They were sacrificing their children was one of the things they were doing. They were worshiping all kinds of gods. They were worshiping everything, worshiping them. They were just terrible, horrible, disgusting things is what they were doing in this land. And God says, "The land you're going to, don't you follow them." Now you think about where we live today and apply this to our lives. We've heard these messages on having your heart fixed. We've heard the message on following Jesus, not the world, but following Him. We've heard the message to draw near to God. And then last night we were asked the question, do you really want to be here? And then He followed it up with, why? Don't just answer the question of, do you want to be here, and say, yes. Okay, good. Why? Show me why. Why? Examine yourself. See if what you said is really true. Do you really want to be here? That verse 5 in Leviticus verse 18, He says, ye shall therefore keep my statutes, which is His law, His words, and my judgments. We are to keep His word. Do you know what His word is? Do you know, and I know I'm talking to people that are here on a Saturday, right? But do you know what you believe? Do you know? It is amazing. And I don't mean to be offensive in this at all, and I hope I'm not going to be, but I probably am. How many people that go to church that do not know what you believe? You know what your church stands for, but you don't know why. If someone asks you, what do you believe? What do you tell them? Well, I believe in God. Yes, yeah, so does Satan. Can you up him any? I mean, come on. What do you know what you believe? If you don't know what you believe, you can't stand on it. You can't prove it. Can you prove what you believe? That's what He's telling the Israelites here. Look, don't follow those that you've seen in Egypt, and don't follow them or where you're going into Canaan. You follow me. You follow my word. You keep my word. Not yours. Not what you want, not what you think. But in verse 5, He gets even into more depth in it. And this is a scary verse. Verse 5 is scary. Verse 5, He tells you how much, He's telling the children of Israel, how much you are to follow Him. He says, and we've read it already, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. But then He says, which if a man do, if a man keep his statutes and his judgments, what does that look like? Keeping his statutes and his judgments, He says, he shall live in them. Let that soak in a minute. He shall live in them. That means that you're not just going to keep his statutes and his judgments on Sunday. You're not just going to put on your church clothes and come to church, put on a smile, amen, turn to the pages, teach Sunday school, preach, whatever. This is not just the church members. Understand this. This is preachers and pastors too. No amens to that. We have to stand by the stuff too. There's a lot of preachers that don't know what they believe. They know what they've been taught, but they don't know why. We need to know. You can't teach it. You ever known of a preacher that doesn't like, they get upset when you ask them, why do we believe this? Why do they get upset? Would it possibly be they can't argue it? They can't prove it? They've just been taught this is what you believe, therefore that's what you teach? We have to know what we believe. We have to know it. And what does that look like? What does it look like for a preacher, a pastor? What does it look like for a church member to keep his word? It's not just something we do, when other church members are around. He says, he shall live in them. Live in what? His statutes and His judgments. You live in the Word of God. You know, let's see, turn if you will over to 1 Corinthians. Somebody, somewhere will say, but that's the Old Testament. We don't live under the law anymore. We're under grace. Okay, so let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. What is, if someone says, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what do you think they're going to talk about? The gospel. That's what most people are going to think they're going to talk about, because it says in the first four verses, it gives the gospel message. Paul says in verse 3, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But look at verse 58, what it says here. It's a different wording, but what it means is Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. They had some issues, did they not? Do not we have some issues? We do. There, you find a perfect church, don't join it, because you're going to mess it up. We're not perfect. There is no perfect church. We all have issues. We all have trouble. But look at what Paul is telling the church at Corinth. Where we read this, therefore, because, and you go back and you look at that word, therefore. I tell my people that when you come across the word therefore and you read a verse like this, therefore, well, you can't just read the verse. You got to look back. Because that verse is therefore, that word therefore is because of what's been said. So you go back to the first word, the first verse. This is what Paul's writing does to you. The first word in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 says, moreover. What does that tell you to do? Go back to 14. And Paul, you usually have to go back to chapter 1, verse 1. And it's really good to do that anyway, to understand the context of what's going on, what's being said. But he says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What does that mean? What does steadfast mean? It means firm. Standing firm. That's what it means to be steadfast, to be anchored. A ship that is facing a storm drops its anchor. And that wind and those waves push against that anchor, which does not, that ship does not move because it's anchored. We need to be steadfast. But to be steadfast, you must know what you're anchored to. If you don't know what you're anchored to, how can you remain anchored? There's a term that I grew up with. Wishy-washy. Don't be wishy-washy. What does that mean? Flighty. Unreliable. Bouncing from here to there. All over the place. You never know what they're going to stand for. Because basically they stand for nothing. They just stand for anything that sounds good, whoever's in front of them. Don't be like that. Because you're going to come across things in this world that... So many churches. So many church members. Why are they leaving? Why are they stopping? Why are they giving up? Why are they compromising? You know, that's the biggest thing. They don't want to hinder. They don't want to hurt or offend. What does Christ say about offenses? They're going to happen. There's one thing for you offending somebody, but there's something for the Word of God offending somebody. I can't help that. I'm sorry it offends you, but I hope you understand it. I hope the Lord convicts you for it, but I'm not changing. I can't. The Bible tells us, Jesus said in John, in the book of John, that He didn't come to bring peace, He came to bring a sword. A dividing asunder of father and son, mother and daughter, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, father-in-law and son-in-law. He come dividing. That's what's going to happen when we stick with Scripture. I'm sorry, but I hate that. But what would you rather have? Your family or Scripture? Think about it. What would you rather have? And in this world is constantly pulling us away from where we ought to be. You know, when I began to look at this verse 58 and I began to focus on this little phrase, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, first, before you get there, you got to be steadfast. You have to be settled in what you believe. Unmovable. That word unmovable, that's one that means settled, firmly persistent. Look, you are settled, you are firmly persistent in what the Word of God says. Not like this world says, well, that's what I believe, and what I believe is what I believe, what you believe is you believe. Basically, my truth is my truth, your truth is your truth. That's straight out of pits of hell. There's a truth that is truth, and that's it. It amazes me that I can say 2 + 2 = 5, and people look at me like I'm stupid. Because it is. 2 + 2 = 5. You can walk them to say you're wrong, and you would be right. But then I say there's only one way of salvation. Oh, you can't say that. That offends people. They're going to be offended a lot more in hell than I offended with my words. They need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to stick with the truth and tell it to them. But here, steadfast, unmovable. And I can't get by this point. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. What does that mean? Always means at all times. Think about that. At all times. When you wake up, my alarm goes off at 5:45. At 5:45, what should I be doing? Well, I'm hitting the snooze button normally, or turning it off is what I'm doing. Rolling over, because my alarm goes off at 5:45, I turn it off, and then it goes off again at 6. And I get up at 6 o'clock. Some mornings, this past Wednesday, I got up 6 o'clock, sat up on the side of the bed, and I thought, 2 more days. 2 more days. I was tired. But I forgot I had to set my alarm for 6 o'clock this morning, too, because I wanted some donuts. So, and tomorrow it's going off. I don't get a break from getting up early this week. We get tired sometimes. And this always, at all times. Do you ever get tired of always having to do? You ever get tired of it? I told my boss one day that, look, I ran jobs. I need a break. And he got upset with me. I don't know why he needs a break for. And then he went home and told his wife. Paul said he needs a break, so I don't know what he's doing. And she looked and she said, well, he's been running jobs for 12 years. And I told John, my boss, my brain is mush. It's just, I could climb a ladder and take a measurement, come down off the ladder and not even know what I just did. My brain's gone. It needs a break. So he gave me a little break. But we get tired sometimes, don't we? But the word, what we are to be always, at all times, always abounding. What does this word abounding mean? It means to have an abundance. Think about this. The whole, what we've heard in these messages is where our heart needs to be fixed at. Making sure, because the title of the message was Examination of a Heart Fixed on God. That means making sure your heart is fixed where it ought to be fixed. Not just saying, making sure, double checking, triple checking, quadruple checking. Then following Jesus, who are you following? Always abounding. Always making sure who you're following. When you caravan, you know, I don't like following in a caravan. I like leading in a caravan mainly because I like doing my own thing. I like people following me instead of me following them because, well, I don't know why. But probably because I just like being in control. That's me. But when you're following somebody, you're always double checking. Okay, is that them? Okay, I see them. There they are. When you're leading, I'm always checking the mirror, seeing where they're at, making sure I see where they're at and know where they're at. Keep an eye on them at all times. When you're following Jesus, you need to always be checking and making sure who you're following. Are you following Him? Are you still following Him? Well, I was last week, so sure I am now. Maybe you're not. Make sure. Always abounding. At all times. Have in abundance the work of the Lord. So, if I'm always, in all times, having in abundance, that word work means a toil. That word work implies labor. That word work applies doing. The work of the Lord. Who's the Lord? This is a title given to God, the Messiah. Always, in all, at all times, having in abundance your labor, your doing for the things of God. So, my first question when I read this and I looked up these words, my first thought, and it's a shame to me, but I'm going to admit to it. My first thought was, when is my downtime? When do I get a rest? When is my me time? When is the time when I don't have to worry about anything and just do what I want? It's not there. It's not there. And as I looked at this, I was, to my shame, a little bit sad. Because me time is very important, isn't it? I'm being facetious, but I'm saying it to us, it's very important. We look at that as something that we schedule in our day, and yet Paul is telling the church at Corinth, throw out your me time and do everything for the Lord. What is it Moses, the Lord through Moses, told the Israelites in Leviticus 18 verses 1 through 5? Don't follow anybody but me. And to follow me properly, you're going to live in my commandments. You think about it. You're going to live in my commandments. Wow. So where's my me time in Leviticus 18 verse 5? There ain't any. It's gone. Where's my me time in 1 Corinthians 15:58? It's gone. But the problem is I sometimes stop in the middle of a verse. And I have a little camp out, a little powwow, and I begin to feel sorry for myself because mainly I haven't finished the verse yet. Because see, there's an answer in this verse to my question, where's my me time? Because see, to me time means I'm being refreshed. I am relaxing. I'm being rejuvenated, ready for more. That's what me time, in my mind, that's what me time does. It helps me to continue. It helps me to keep going. Because what we forget, what I forget, when he says here, always abounding in the work of the Lord, this is not the same type of work that we do in the world. It's not the same kind of work. It's a different type of work. Because see, I was a plumber. I plumbed houses. I plumbed buildings. But what did that get me? What did that profit me? What did that add to me? Nothing. I mean, it put food on the table. It paid the bills. But what did that do for me? Nothing. It didn't help me spiritually. It didn't help me in eternity at all. The mere plumbing did not. But understand, I could be doing the plumbing, as he says here in this verse, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because see, I'm providing for my family. I'm doing the good work. Providing for my family. I would be going to work. I could worship the Lord at work. The plumbing didn't do anything to better me, but the worship of the Lord did. See, there's a difference here, and that's what the last part of this verse is saying. For as much as ye know. What does that mean? If you look up these words, for as much as ye know is one word, or to know. That means to understand. To perceive. For as much as ye know, he's saying here, always abounding in the work of the Lord, understanding that your labor, there again, same word as work, your labor, well not the same word, but it's the same, it means trouble, it means weariness, it means a doing, a toil. Your labor is not, I like this word not, the definition to it is the absolute negative. I mean, it's an absolute no. It's not, well, it, more than likely it's not. No, it is a sure that your labor is not, an emphatic not, in vain. But look at those last three words. In the Lord. That word vain, that means empty, right? It means useless. In the definition of vain, there's a phrase. There's a sentence. It's not a phrase. It's a sentence that describes this vain as a person. The definition says, one who boasts of his faith as a possession, yet without the fruits of faith. How many people do you know of that boast of salvation, but that's all they got? Is the boasting of it no fruit whatsoever? The time that we're living in, it's very comparable to what Moses wrote in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Don't follow those people that it's in the world, is what he's saying. You know, it is encouraging when you're preaching for people to amen. But one thing, and I'm not trying to say don't amen. I'm just, when I've been thinking about this, when I amen someone that's up here preaching, what am I saying? You think about what that means when you say amen. It means you agree with it. But it's more than that. It means you're going to do it. Be careful. Where are we? When you say amen, that you agree with something and you're going to do it, I don't know, I don't have proof of this, but it scares me some anymore. Because we're in the house of God. Would that be kind of like a vow to the Lord that I agree with that, I want to do it? We need to be careful. And it's also us that are, us men that are up here preaching. I'm not saying I have this all figured out, so please don't go away saying Brother Reynolds says he's got this all figured out. Oh no, I don't. I see the verses. I struggle with them. This abounding, and what I've found, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I have found in my life temptations that I didn't realize were there. How did I not realize they were there? Because I've not always been always abounding in the word of the Lord, work of the Lord. In those me times, we kind of shut off the guard. I mean, after all, it's my time now. That video that comes through on your phone, it's okay. No, it's not. You know what that's called? You know what that is? That's a temptation. You can't do that. You can't watch it. You can't listen to it. You can't heed to it. But what does the world know? What does Satan know? If he can get us laughing at something, it's not long we're going to accept it. You just think back in history a little bit. Think about television commercials. Think about them. TV shows, little sitcoms. The sitcoms that used to come on when I was a kid, the parents were stupid and the kids ruled the roost. My dad would get so aggravated and I would think, it's just funny, Dad. It's not really, everybody knows that's not going to happen. Yeah, here we are. Who rules most households? The kids do. And then our system of teaching kids, you can't tell them no because it hurts them. Baloney. They need no. I mean, the devil knows if he can get us laughing at something, it's not long we're going to be accepting it. And it's not long it's going to be in our family. Look, that letting down the guard, it's important that we are struggling to always abound in the work of the Lord. What does he tell them in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 6. I know we know this. We almost quote it, right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Yeah, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." My brother mentioned this verse. Put them in your heart. And thou shalt, and look at how he says you're going to not just put them in your heart, but use them. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." But then he explains how. "And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." When are we going to, what is our conversation with our children, with our family going to be about? Well, it's going to be about that preacher, what he preached today at church. His kids don't do it. Don't talk about the preacher. Don't talk about people at church. Pray for them. We have enough gossip going around. We don't need more. We need prayers. The Bible tells us to come alongside those that are weaker and help them. Encourage them. But standing off to the side and kind of pointing and snickering, that's not helping. That doesn't help. You know what that does? That splits. That puts a split right down the middle of a church. But he tells us we ought to always be talking about our conversation. Why is that? Because of Leviticus 18, verses 5. If you're going to keep my word, you're going to do what I say, you're going to live in it. It's going to be such a part of you, it comes out your mouth. Your conversation will be about His word. You ever find a verse of Scripture? You ever find something you've never saw before? And it just blows your mind in Scripture. It just, wow! What do you talk about? You talk about it so much, people are like, oh boy, here it comes again. That ought to be that way. We ought to talk about it so much. We ought to be able to find things. We ought to be in the Word so much we're continually finding new things. But we're not. Why not? Why? I personally, and all I can talk about is me. Because we have that what I call me time scheduled in there. Where everything shuts off. And I get to do what I want to do. We don't need that. I don't need that. Because I'm finding, like I said, that I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's been on my mind for the past few weeks. And the more that I think about that, the more that I'm noticing there are times that I don't look for temptations. I'm not saying I go out looking for them. I don't watch out for them. That's what I mean by that. And I'm finding that as I am looking at always abounding in the work of the Lord, always having my mind fixed, having my heart fixed, I'm always continually making sure that I'm drawing near God. And I'm making sure that I'm doing what He wants me to do, that I'm where He wants me to be. Not because I have to be, but because I want to be. I want to be where He wants me to be. I want to be doing what He wants me to do. Then I'm finding things that normally, before, I wouldn't think anything about. Now those things come up on my phone or in my mind or whatever, wherever, on TV, whatever. And I'm pricked. This is wrong. This is wrong. He also says here in verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They ought to be where everybody sees them, or you see them everywhere you go, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. You know, I done a job for a guy that he was a carpenter, went to his house. I walked in and immediately I knew the rock band that he liked. I knew it. There was posters all over the place, records all over the place on the pictures of this person, whoever it was. I don't remember the band. I don't even remember the people that I like to listen to. So I don't remember them. But this guy, he had all the memorabilia, everything. I'm like, so, I take it you like so-and-so. Oh, yeah, man, they are amazing. People ought to walk into our houses, and they ought to know who we worship. they ought to know. Do they? Can they? The signs that we have, the sayings that we have posted, our pictures. What we have ought to point to Christ. Our lifestyle. What comes out our mouth. What we talk about. The places we go, the places we won't go. We ought to live the Word of God. And then I begin to wonder, because it used to be a saying that, look, you may be the only Bible those people read. But as I've been studying this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58, that's what that's talking about. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. What do people read when they watch your life? You know, the word conversation in the Bible is actually lifestyle. Because, see, your life speaks. What is your life saying? What is my life saying? This is that First Corinthians 15:58, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I haven't been able to get away from that for I don't know how many weeks now. It's beginning to weary me a little bit, but it's been a good weary, because there's been things that I have had to cut out of my life. I've had to stop, because we can't always abound in the work of the Lord and keep going the same way. We can't. Are you always abounding in the work of the Lord? I hope and I pray that you'll go over and you'll read 1 Corinthians 15:58. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read that. Read through there and see what Paul, the problems Corinth is having. We need to be different than the world. And not to stand out to be noticed. But we ought to stand out because we love the Lord. Think about what He's done for you. What He's given to you. What He's given up for you. He died for you. He died for me. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I have some other scriptures here, because then I ask the question, how do we do that? How do we do that? I don't have time to get into all of that, but go over and read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. You need the armor of the Lord. You need the whole armor of the Lord. And the first thing you put on is the truth. You look at that. First thing you put on is truth. Not the world's truth, God's truth. You stand firm in it, steadfast, unmovable in the Word of God, in the truth of God. Stand on it. If you're here today and you're lost, one of the truths in Scripture that separate us from some Baptists is that Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're lost, I point you to Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. Repent and believe, and thou shalt be saved. Brother Roland.